In our last service, we read Romans chapter 8, made some comments here and there as we went along. We're going to do the same thing this morning in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. This was from my heart when I got up this morning, and I didn't want to read it because I wanted to read it fresh with you guys. This is not going to be a running commentary on each verse, but we're just going to read it, and when something stands out, we might discuss it or talk about it a little bit. Otherwise, we'll just read. All right, we're blessed to read the word to our heart. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brothers. I'm reminded that Paul didn't ask for that apostleship. He was called. A lot of people feel they're a call for something when it's really something that they just want, and not necessarily a calling at all. Verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now, unto the church of God is not speaking of a denomination. It's speaking of God's church in Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. I'm reminded of a word that came some time back on this first part, the church of God which is at Corinth. The Greek reads a little different, the church of God which is in Corinth. Corinth was a city in Greece. The Greeks had many gods, and so Corinth was a major city with a lot of major, many different gods. So they were very religious in the wrong way. So this church was right in the midst of it. We've heard prophecies in the past of how God's going to raise up his church right in the midst of Babylon, and that's kind of the way it was there in Corinth. If you realize what the city of Corinth was like, what the Greeks like with their many gods and their idolatry, you could understand some of the problems that the church had in Corinth. They came out of a background that was very much less than holy, and a lot of change had to take place. And that's the way it is with all of us. We come into the things of the Lord, and we usually come in with a lot of baggage. Our thinking is all messed up. Our feelings are not right. We come in, if you come in to the Lord in Corinth, then you got a lot of Corinth in you. It's just like those Israelites when they came out of Egypt. And they were in the wilderness. They were out of Egypt all right, but most of their problems was brought about because there was a lot of Egypt in them. So whatever we were in, whatever our Corinth was, God has to get it out of us. So in verse 3, we need a lot of grace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you in Jesus Christ. Took a lot of grace for those Greeks to come out of the things they were in and come into the Lord. A lot of grace. And it's the same with us. It takes a lot of grace. And the thing of it is, you don't know what you were until after you get out of it. And you look back and you see. You see. Verse 5, that in everything you are enriched in Him. Might point out that sometimes the prepositions are not correct. In verse 4, it says, the grace of God which is given you in Jesus Christ, not by Jesus Christ, but given you in Him. See, you if you want to experience the grace of God, He doesn't send His grace to you apart from Him. You get into Him, and that's when you start experiencing His grace. And in verse 5, in everything you are enriched in Him, not just by Him. It's not a matter of you're going to be enriched by Him. He's up there somewhere, but yet He's sending down some enrichment to you. No, you're enriched in Him. In all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another bad translation. Let me give you what the Greek says. That you come behind in no gift, waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Him to you that will pull you out of your old life. This is not talking about a coming of the Lord that's going to take place at the end of the church age or end of time or whatever. This is talking about a revelation of the Lord that is taking place right now. It's a revelation of Him that is available to every person on the face of the earth. But it's only those who, in their hearts, open up to receive that revelation. Waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is your particular problem? Now, I'm not just talking about right here. Whoever's hearing this message, what is your particular problem? Everybody's got one. In fact, you might be blessed with several problems. But everybody's got a problem. What's the answer to your problem? A revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in your revelation of Him that can pull you out of your problem. As long as you're focused on your problem, you're locked in. But when you focus on Christ and you have a revelation of Him, there's a drawing that takes place that pulls you unto Him and out of your problem. Verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you might be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That He might confirm you unto the end. Unto the end of what? Well, everything we've been talking about here is getting each one of us out of our particular Corinth and into Him. That is where you find grace, where you find every need is met, is in Him. And the end is not the end of time, it's not the end of the church age, it's not the end. Probably it will be closer to a beginning. The end of your problems, the end of your Corinth. The end is a Greek word, telos, T-E-L-O-S. And it means the goal aimed at. What is it that we're after? Whatever our particular Corinth is, we're endeavoring to get out of that and into the revelation of Christ. And just think, every time you pull out of some Corinth and you move into a revelation that you have, then the revelation enlarges and you find yourself moving a little more out of your personal Corinth, moving into a little more revelation. And what's happening? You're moving into the end, into the goal that the Lord has set for you.
Would that be like maturity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maturity is not a state that you come to and you've made it. Maturity is a continual progressive movement into more of God.
Right.
If anywhere along the way you stop progressing, then you've lost your maturity. There's no more maturity there. All right, verse 9. God is faithful. Now that's important. You want to pull out of your Corinth? And you know you can't. But you look for that revelation of Him, and you're moving into that. But God is faithful. He that has called you will perfect it. It's like Paul called to be an apostle. How did that happen? Well, it was through the will of God. And God created that. He said, this I'm giving you. And he brought him into it. And he grew and he was perfected and matured. And he became, because God is faithful. Now, we usually think of, well, Paul was something special. God had a lot more to work with when he had Paul. No, Paul was about to wreck the church. Paul had human nature just like we do. God didn't have an easier job with Paul. But Paul was very dedicated. He could, you know, God is faithful to bring the change that is necessary. Whatever your particular Corinth is, God can deliver you from that. Whatever your need is, God can be that to you. He is faithful. And that's, it's important to understand that. We've got two very important things. Where is it? Verse 3, grace be unto you. Verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God. It's his grace and his faithfulness in verse 9 that is able to bring us out of everything that we were. And Isaiah says, remember the pit from which you were dug. See, God took us out of a pit, so to speak, the pit of human nature, the dregs and the scum of human nature. His grace and his faithfulness brings us out and brings us unto the goal that we're after, that we may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful by whom you were called. Old English unto. The Greek is into. You were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The calling of God upon you. Oh, I want to be an apostle. Well, don't worry about being an apostle. Just realize that you're called into a fellowship of his Son. That's the most important thing at all. A lot of people want to work miracles. They want to do great things. They want to look super spiritual. Look, it's being called into the fellowship of his Son. Jesus sent out, the 70 disciples. They came back. You're talking about a bunch of happy disciples. They did a lot of great things, worked a lot of miracles. Jesus said, yeah, I saw Satan fall from heaven. Listen, don't rejoice over all those things you did. Rejoice in the fact that you have a relationship with the Lord. There it is. He's faithful. And you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Our Lord, I would, maybe whatever Bible you've got may have all the prepositions right, but this King James that I'm using, a lot of good things about King James, but there are some things that aren't so good. Verse 4, the grace of God which is given you in Jesus Christ. And in verse 5, you are enriched in him. And in verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called into, not just unto, but into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.